So, Om Aganat Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the founder Acharya and my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today we are commemorating the Brahmana Diksha. And is there one devotee taking first initiation?
No, just second.
You are second. Second for everyone. All right. So we're going to talk about what it means to be a Brahmana. So Krishna, of course, describes in the Gita what a Brahmana is, or at least the qualities of a Brahmana. Sama damat dapaksho cham shantir arjavame vacha gyana vijnanamasti kyam brahma karma sama brahma karma. So, yes. So, in other words, if one is going to be a Brahmin, it's not a question simply of initiation. Initiation means basically to give someone the opportunity to, first of all, be a devotee with first initiation. Secondly, to be a Brahmin with second initiation. But to actually be a Brahmin requires that one should have the qualities of a Brahmin. Just like Krishna also says in the Gita, Chaturvarna Mayashrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha, that one is known to be of a certain varna, or a certain ashram, according to guna and karma. Guna means his qualities, karma means his or her particular activities. So the brahmana's qualities are, as I mentioned in this verse from the Gita, someone who is equipoise, first of all, sama. Sama means equipoise. Like a brahmana is also described as a samadarshi, vidya vinaya sampane, brahmani gavi hastini. Shuni Chaivas Vapake Cha Pandita Samadarshana. In other words, one who sees equally all living entities, also in the Isopanishad that's described, yes, Tu Sarvani Bhutani Atman Evanum Pashati. Pashati means to see all living entities equally as parts and parcels of Krishna, and doesn't discriminate according to the different types of bodies that people have or different species that entities have. So that's one type of being sama, or equipoised. Another type is matrasparshus dukantiya sitoshna sukadukada. Being equipoised in happiness and distress, and also being equipoised in terms of someone who praises you, or appreciates you, or loves you, and someone who cries during class. Anyways, and someone who hates you, despises you, wants to kill you. That's a big one, isn't it? I think that's harder than any of the other types of being equipoised. So I'll explain how one can be equipoised in all those circumstances. And I'll give an example from the Bhagavatam. You have the story, one of my favorite stories, thank you, of Dharma the Bull. And Dharma the Bull is being attacked by the personality of Kali. And the personality of Kali is cutting off his legs. That's a pretty heavy attack. Imagine if someone came and they were cutting your legs off. Would you be equipoised? I wouldn't. Anyway, so the personality of Kali was cutting off the legs of the personality of religion, Dharma Bull. And along comes Maharaj Parikshit. And Maharaj Parikshit immediately stops this, and he says to Dharma the Bull, would you like to make a complaint? I mean, actually, I'm paraphrasing this whole passage. I mean, he says, who has done this? But generally, we have this, would you like to make a complaint about someone or file a complaint with the government? So, because Prince Maharaj is the government, And Dharma the Bull says, no, I don't want to make a complaint. It's very difficult to ascertain who has actually done this to me. And then ultimately he points out that it's the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And being the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he doesn't blame the person who is the immediate perpetrator, immediate abuser, the immediate attacker. He understands it's Krishna's arrangement. So, of course, Krishna also says in the Gita, in the 6th chapter, some entertainment here during class. So, he also says in the 6th chapter of the Gita, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayu Pashati Dasyaham Na Pranashyami Satcha Me Na Pranashyati. He says, basically, one should see me in everything and see me everywhere, and one who sees in such a fashion is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. That's 6:30 of the Gita, if any of you want to look that up. Actually, that's one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. That's Krishna consciousness. To see Krishna everywhere and to see everything in Krishna. So, Dharma the Bull is seen like that, and therefore, he's not getting angry at the personality of Kali, which is amazing. He's being personally, physically attacked and not getting angry. And that's really the essence of sama. To see Krishna in everything and to see Krishna everywhere and not to get angry with Krishna either, of course. Because there's always that tendency. Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I've been serving you for so many years in the Hare Krishna movement. Chanted so many rounds, 50 years, and what do I get? Another day older, an old body, and why? And no salary either. So when you get angry at God, that's not a good idea either. Because Krishna is doing whatever he's doing to you, or for you, let's say for you. I hate to use the expression to you means he's your opponent. So he's doing whatever he's doing for your benefit. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radhakanta Namostute. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu. The Krishna is an ocean of mercy. So he's simply bringing you back to him as quickly as you can tolerate. That's what Krishna is doing. And therefore, he's subjecting you to difficulties or giving you some nice things within this material world. It's all Krishna. Krishna's arrangement, as we say. Of course, as we've mentioned many times before to the devotees, that doesn't mean that our foolishness is Krishna's arrangement. Like if you do something foolish, for example, if you fall asleep while you're driving your car, you cannot say this is Krishna's arrangement. I got in an accident. It's your foolishness. So Prabhupada made that very clear. One time devotees got in a car accident because they had fallen asleep. It's Nishina Kavacha's glasses. I don't think he'd be too happy. So one time the devotees got in a car accident. Several of them died in the car accident. And one devotee said to Prabhupada, that was Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada said, no, it's your foolishness. So don't blame Krishna or attribute your foolishness to Krishna. But still, if one sees Krishna in everything and everywhere, then you can be peaceful in every circumstance. And, you know, so many times I have to deal with devotees who say to me, well, this person said this to me, this person offended me, this person, that. And I just say, don't you see Krishna? You know, what are you, an atheist? Actually, atheism basically means not to see or think that God exists. And who is God? He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent. That's God. Basic qualities in any religion, that's the description of God. So that's how you become sama. Everybody understands that? And also, loving all living entities, as I mentioned before, quoting from the Upanishad, this is the sama. And then the next one is dhamma. Dhamma means you got to learn how to control your senses. And that's probably even a little harder than Sama. So it's described by in the Bhagavatam by Lord Shambhadev, Ananda Gopir Vishatam Tamikshram Punak Putin, that's Pallad Maharaj, Punak Purnascha Charvita Charvananam, that if one has uncontrolled senses, then one simply engages in fruitless activities again and again. Or as Albert Einstein, the great Acharya, stated, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and think you're going to get a different result. So we can quote him in that regard. That's punak punas charvita charvananam, chewing the already chewed. So, so therefore, in order to control the senses, it's not a question simply of negating the senses, but it's a question of engaging yourself wholeheartedly, Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo, in Krishna's service according to your psychophysical nature. What does psychophysical nature mean? It means that we all have a propensity, abilities, tendency, a liking towards a particular type of activity. And we should be engaged in Krishna's service according to that propensity. Sometimes you'll hear, oh, you should just surrender, Prabhu. I was just speaking to a group of brahmacharis in New Zealand, and I made this point. You have to work according to your nature. You know, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And the brahmachari said, of course, they were in a very strict brahmachari ashram. It was very disciplined. They said, well, aren't you just supposed to surrender and forget about your nature? And I said, that may work for a year or two, but if you continue doing like that, you'll explode one day. Because we are forced to act according to our psychophysical nature means the nature of the body that we got. I know we're not the body, but you have to work with the body and the mind. For example, if you get a certain type of car, let's say a very cheap car. What's a cheap car here? Anybody have a...
Daguo.
A what? Daguo. Daguo. Yeah, whatever it is. Haven't even heard about it. It's so cheap. So if you get a very cheap car, you're not going to run it in the races, will you? I don't think so. It'll probably break down. I mean, in Europe, we have this interesting type of car called the Yugo. Anyone's heard of that car? It's like the car you got to stick your feet out underneath the car, and that's how it runs, like those cartoons. Basically, it's like that. So if you got a cheap car, you just use it according to the way the car is constructed. You don't take it to the races, you just take it around the corner. And if you have a Porsche, I was driving a Porsche the other day. It was very nice. So, in Brisbane, I was driving a Porsche. It was really nice. If you have a Porsche, you put your pedal to the metal. You understand what that means? You go fast. So, some people have a Porsche body. And some people have a Yugo body. Some people have a Volkswagen body. You know, some people have a truck body. Anyway, So you have to use the body for that which it has been constructed, because Krishna has given you the body and he's given you certain talents. They're meant to be used. And of course, that's one of the main messages of the Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita doesn't only teach us, you know, surrender to Krishna, give up all varieties of religiosity, and do whatever your guru says. That's an important lesson. So, but apart from that, the Bhagavad Gita teaches that everyone should act according to their own nature. And Krishna, in fact, says that if one tries to act in a different way, then it's sinful. It's really interesting. Why is it sinful? Not that it's karmically bad, but after a while, you're not going to be able to fix your mind on Krishna. Because the whole point, according to the Bhagavad Gita, here's another verse, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavya Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhinam. That if you are able to fix your mind on what you're doing for Krishna, even if it's taking care of the cows or the deity worship or anything, fixing a car, whatever is according to your nature, or giving class, reading the Shastra, then that fixing your mind is a full contribution to Brahman. That's what this verse says. That if one makes a full contribution to Brahman, here we're talking about Krishna, who is the supreme personality of Godhead, the source of the Brahman effulgence, but Brahman in this particular case means spirit. So if one makes a full contribution to Brahman, everything that gets offered becomes Brahman or spiritualized. The person making the offering becomes spiritualized. Everything connected with the person making the offering becomes spiritualized. That's called Brahma Karma Samadhi. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Anyway, so one can do that by being engaged according to their psychophysical nature, and that's what Krishna told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you don't work according to your nature, guess what? You're going to be forced to act. There's an interesting story about Arjuna, in fact. One time, before the battle of Kurukshetra, he was meditating, attempting to invoke Lord Shiva. Well, the reason was he wanted a weapon, the Trishura, the trident of Lord Shiva. Anyway, so he was meditating, and as he was meditating, a big boar, that's a pig with tusks on it, in case you haven't heard about that. That's not a boring person. So this big boar went to attack him. And he pulled out his bow and arrows and fired an arrow at the boar. At the same time, there was a hunter there. This describes the Karata. It means hunter, low-class person. He fired an arrow too. And Arjuna, after this whole encounter, said to the hunter, "It was my arrow that killed him." And the hunter said, "It was my arrow." And Arjuna, instead of saying thank you to the hunter, you know, if I was meditating and somebody protected me, I would say thank you. I wouldn't fight with him over whose arrow hit the boar, would you? And that's, for me, that's really wild. But if you're a Kshatriya, you'll fight. And so he started to fight with this hunter. And he got defeated by the hunter. And as he was lying on the ground, he was wondering, what the heck is happening here? So he made a little Shivalinga to worship Lord Shiva, put a garland on the Shivalinga. I don't know how he made the garland so quickly, but he did. And he looked up and the hunter had the garland on him. So therefore he understood it was Lord Shiva. So the point I'm making is that that Arjuna could not separate himself from his psychophysical nature. Even when he was meditating, even when someone protected him, he still had that Kshatriya spirit, what the motive passion. I have to be the one. I have to win. I'm the best fighter. That was the mode that Arjuna is in that particular manifestation. Of course, when he appeared with Lord Narayan as Nara, you have the Nara Narayan rishis, he had a different mood. But he was showing us, and Krishna was showing us, that one follows the nature of their body. And if you do that, you'll be self-controlled. Your senses will be controlled because your senses will be engaged 100% in Krishna's service. I don't know if I'm going to be able to breathe if you have all those during the lecture. That's going to be kind of a challenge for me. Yeah. Anyway. Maybe the shortest lecture I ever gave, so or have someone like wave it so it doesn't go near me. So yeah, I think it's not gonna work. Sorry about that. Anyway. I do have this cough, so anyway, you have to act and understand what your nature is. So how do you understand what your nature is? You understand, think about what you can do 10 or 12 hours a day without going crazy. And you're happy doing it. Prabhupada wanted us to be happy. Prabhupada said, the business of the temple president is to make sure that everyone's jolly. Not only happy, but extremely happy. He said, jolly and eating enough. A lot. So if any of you are not happy and are not eating enough, complain to your temple president. So anyway, so practically, for some people, it means they're taking care of the cows. All right, and just be fully absorbed in it 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. That's really important. Just like, I'm going to give you a funny story. Last night, I was talking to Kurumai about the cows. And somehow or other, because I was talking to her about the cows, she's absorbed in the cows. I had dreams about cows last night. I mean, because of her absorption, it sort of like affected me. I was woken up by a cow licking me this morning. Nice way to wake up. Better than your phone ringing. So, anyway, so that's absorption. So, sama dhamma tapa. Here's the next one. That's the next quality of a Brahman. Tapa means austere. But not austere in a material sense. In a material sense, we think of austerity as torturing the body, which Krishna says in the Gita, is actually qualifies one as a demon. If one tortures the body, that's demoniac, because the body belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's property. So one should, instead of torturing the body, use the body in Krishna's service. So actually, tapa means, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepting everything favorable for serving Krishna and rejecting everything unfavorable. These are two of the six qualities of sharanagati, or surrender. I'm not going to go over the other ones. But accepting everything favorable, rejecting everything unfavorable. Actually, I'll go over the other ones real quickly. Understanding the Lord is always maintaining you. Understanding the Lord is always protecting you. Always being meek and humble. Hare Krishna. And then finally, having no separate interests other than the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Sharanagati, right there in a nutshell. So, and that's austerity, tapa. Very easy. Does Krishna want it? How do you know what Krishna wants? Very easy. You either ask your spiritual master if he's around, or you ask some advanced devotee, or you integrate your service mood towards Krishna and the devotees and the spiritual master in your heart, and you ask the question in your heart to your spiritual master, and that's what I do when I make a decision in life. What would Prabhupada want and what would he not want? That's what I think. If I have some decision, important decision, not every decision, not when I'm eating, would Prabhupada want mangoes for breakfast? Or Prabhupada want oranges? And Prabhupada, please tell me. Oranges, mangoes, okay. No, not like that. But important decisions in life. What would Prabhupada want me to do? Just like when Prabhupada left the planet in 1977, I asked myself, what would Prabhupada want me to do? And the answer I got was Prabhupada wanted me to take sannyas. And I took sannyas in 1978, long time ago. Many, many years ago. So that's how one actually is austere. And then the next one is socham, cleanliness. Prabhupada said, repeating the Western aphorism, that cleanliness is next to godliness. And during the Brahmin initiation or second initiation, Prabhupada would comment that one should be internally clean as well as externally clean. So, internally clean means, as the Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely recited this prayer, Om Pavitra Pavitrava Sarva Vashtam Gatopiva Yaksmaret Pundri Kaksham Savaya Avyantara Shuchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu, that one should always remember the lotus-eyed Lord, Pundri Kaksham. That Pundri Kaksham means lotus-eyed Lord. So, you remember the lotus-eyed Lord by thinking of your service, remember the deities, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, having regular sadhana. Sadhana is very important in devotional service. Sadhana means practice. If you don't practice, you'll never become perfect. And so practice means rising early, chanting one's rounds regularly with attention, eating food cooked by devotees so you don't become wicked. Anyway, so this is the practice of devotional service. So that's cleanliness internally. So cleanliness externally, Prabhupada said, bathing once or twice or three times preferably a day. And also it means cleaning your hands before eating, cleaning your hands after eating. Actually, Prabhupada, when he was with us, he told me, you should also clean your feet before eating and your feet after eating. But that may not be practical. I remember in the old days, in the in the temple, we had a sink for hand washing, and people used to put their feet in this sink too. It was disgusting. So, you know, because they wanted to follow what Prabhupada said, but in that case, it wasn't practical. So you have to adjust things according to time, place, and circumstance. So it means very clean, revolutionarily clean. Prabhupada said the temple should be extremely clean, so you could eat off the floor and not get sick. Everything should be spick and span. That's an expression for cleanliness. So, socham. And then the next qualities like tolerant, santir, tolerant. So one should be tolerating, and we mentioned before that's part of sama, that you actually see Krishna behind everything and Krishna everywhere, and that way you're able to tolerate and not only see Krishna, but understand what is Krishna saying to you, what should you do about it, etc. And then act accordingly. Because Krishna not only is responsible for everything that happens to you, but he's also expecting a particular action on your part in that regard. So, and then religious. One should be religious, in other words, cultivate love of God. Anyway, so the Brahma Karma, these are the qualities of being, and truthful, of course, he left out truthful. One should be truthful. Truthful means that you always tell the truth unless there is some danger, then you don't have to tell the truth. And if it, only in the circumstance where you're protecting others, protecting yourself from harm, can you lie. I mean, for example, or preaching Krishna consciousness in very extreme circumstances. I'll give an example. One time I went to a country where it was prohibited to be a Hare Krishna devotee, and I was going there to preach. So I was at immigration, and they looked at me and said, are you a Hare Krishna devotee? And I said, what's that? How do you, what? I didn't understand you. So, of course I didn't lie. I sort of didn't tell the truth either, but so in those cases, those extreme cases, but in general, Prabhupada expected us to be perfect examples of ladies and gentlemen. Prabhupada was asked one time, what is the quality of your disciples? And Prabhupada said, they are perfect ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we know the Bhagavatam says, yasyasti bhakti bhagavacha kinsana sarva gunastatrisavasutesara harabhavaktasya kuto mahaguna manorite nasati davatobihi. That one who is a devotee of the Lord attains all the good qualities of the devas or the demigods. So that means that when one takes this second initiation, Brahman initiation, Gayatri initiation, one is not only taking it to help oneself advance or do deity worship, but one is taking it and becoming a minister in the Krishna consciousness movement. That means that one is representing the movement. Wherever you go, you should consider that you're representing Srila Prabhupada. Very important point. Representing his divine grace to the Prabhupada, and people will judge the movement according to your actions because you're a minister. Very important point. So, I think this, I touched upon all the points of the Brahman, and of course, we're expecting the devotees who are taking second initiation to participate in deity worship. That's one of the responsibilities of people who take second initiation, to serve the deities, to serve the devotees, and ultimately, as we say in both initiations, first and second initiation, to dedicate their lives to the service of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the mission of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, who is the not only founder, acharya of the Krishna Conscious Movement, but the ultimate siksha guru of everyone in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and the ultimate person to whom one should be focused when carrying out one's service, because we're all part of the same mission. One thing that's very important, perhaps one of the most important instructions that we can give, is to not think in any way in a partisan spirit. That's especially a Brahminical quality. A partisan spirit, one should not be thinking that I am a disciple of so-and-so and someone else is a disciple of so-and-so and we are different. No. Or I only associate with my God brothers and God sisters. No. Because we are all part of Srila Prabhupada's family, meant to work together to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. In fact, even in my own dealings with disciples, I never have disciple meetings because that creates a mood of division. I'm simply interested in everyone working for the same purpose for Srila Prabhupada. And what is the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's mission? To create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. To change the world. When I joined the movement, as I mentioned actually last night, the mood was that we are going to change the world. We are going to take over the world for Srila Prabhupada. And that should be the mood of the devotees in the Krishna Conscious Movement. Not simply, I'm having a comfortable life in Krishna consciousness, chanting nicely, and I get to go back to Godhead and play with the cows eternally after it's all over. That's not our mood. Our mood is, let us fight for Krishna. Let us push forward to the Prabhupada's movement. Let's cooperate and let us have loving relationships between all the other devotees. So, thank you very much. So we'll proceed with the fire sacrifice. All glories to His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There you go. Now I give him the thread. Right? When, yeah. Yeah, should I? Will it? What do you usually do? Usually I give the thread. Yeah, you do it after. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
He's got the
thread. Yeah.
Okay. In office for a long time.
Okay. 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 Take the mic away. Okay. Okay. Get it.
So now we'll do the Vaishnava Homa.
Everyone wants to be in the picture.
And generally the way we do this is we tell, say the words, and pick them up. And at the end, we want three of those to do goodbye. We do those by now. First, I'll just give you something from the Mahabharata. Om Bhuvah Svaha Yamsha.